Good morning.
That was awesome, right? I know there's probably plenty of other people in here that have similar stories where God has come through when we can't, right? And that's the whole point of this entire series here, is that he's worthy of everything. So don't give him just what I have left, because that's dishonoring to a degree. Right? Like, he provides everything. The breath in your lungs came from him. Like, your flesh, your family, everything, it came from him. So who am I not to give him back what's already his? Like, this is on loan to me. Like, this is his. And I'm going to get into that a little bit more in a second. What I'm going to do, I'm going to pray, and we're going to open this up. Dear God, we thank you for today. We thank you that you have provided everything for us. Not only did you create us and you took your time and your power to do that, you also decided that when we went astray, that you were then going to purchase us back again, because you see us and you love us and you want us to have this opportunity to be with you, God. I thank you for that. I pray that we would be good stewards with what you have provided us. Whatever that is, God, I pray that you would always keep that in the forefront of our minds as we seek you first and not last. As we make you the ultimate priority in our life, because you are the only thing that truly matters, everything else follows suit as we chase after you, God. I pray that you would open up your word today and that it would come alive. I pray that I would get out of the way and that you would open the ears of everyone out there to hear what you would have to say. In your name, amen. So, tipping the king, we are called to honor the king with our first fruits, with what comes out from the very beginning, with what we are provided with. Now, we have talked about the financial side of that, about your tithes. Today, I'm going to talk about your time and your talents, because God did not only offer one aspect of our lives. He gave us every part of our lives. And if we are called in principle to give back to him, why would we limit it to only one single aspect? When we can walk in true connection and blessing with God, when we give him the first of everything he's given us. And now, I have to keep in mind that I did not earn this. I was given this. When I think that I've earned it, it's really hard for me to let go of it. Because now this is mine, and you're not taking it. But when it has been handed to me as a gift, it is much easier for me to hold it with an open hand, and to go where God tells me to go, and to offer it to who God tells me to offer it to. Why? Because I know he has more that he will give me to give out to the people. There has never been a time that God has called you to give out something that he will not provide you to give out. He will always be there. The scripture today is in 1 John 3:16 through 18. I'll give you guys a chance to get there. I think it'll also be up on the screen. 1 John 3:16 through 18. And it says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth." We are called not to just love in word or talk, because that's easy, right? That's easy. We have a multi-billion dollar acting, like actors guild, and we watch movies and everything. It's easy to just say something and make people think something. It's different to do it in word and in truth. You know, like, it's the saying, don't talk about it, be about it. Right? Because I can talk about it all day long. Like, I dare say we have a lot of churches that get together and love to talk about it. We got people that love to hear about it. And we love to talk back and forth and be like, that's fantastic, that is great, that is awesome. But are you doing it? Because it doesn't really do anything unless you're applying the principles and you're doing what God is telling you to do. It'd be like going and sitting... be like my son coming and sitting in front of me, and I'm saying, this is what I would like you to do today. This is what I need from you. This is what needs to happen. And he just smiles and he goes, man, that sounded great. And then he leaves and does nothing. And he's like, oh, man, I loved listening to you talk, though. It was great, Dad. The words were beautiful. It rolled out like, it almost rhymed sometimes. But, yeah, that's great. I'll be back next week, and you can tell me more of things that you enjoy. I'm like, no. No, you're not applying anything. You're not doing what you're told. You're not obeying. It's important that we do this. God doesn't tell us stuff just so that you can feel good. He's not like, well, hopefully I can make you sleep better tonight by this little tale I'm going to tell you. He's like, no, these are principles. This is the life that I'm calling you into. This is the life that I'm calling you to. And it's a life of abundantly more than what you have and can do and can think and can imagine. But in order for you to have this life, you need to follow my instructions and you need to do what I'm calling you to do. It's important. What does he call us to do? He calls us to be good stewards of our time, of our talents, of our finances, of the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us. We're told here in Scripture, it says, this is how we know love. How do we know love? He died for us. That's love. That's real love. Like, that is the ultimate level of love. He didn't die for you and then said, guess what? You're forced to now do this because you owe me. He died for you and then said, here, this is still an opportunity. It's still your choice. I want you to know what I paid to give you this choice. It's still your choice. That's love. And he never stops pursuing you with it. If you're breathing, he's still right there going, accept my love. Like, know me. Know me. He'll put people and things around you, and he'll be like, I love you. Look at everything here. I love you. Take this gift I'm giving you to be with me forever. If anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother's need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Again, if I think I earned it, it's mine. If it is a gift from God to me, I do what I'm told with it because it's on loan. That's something that I really, really, really feel like that's the message today. Is this is on loan to you. It's his. I'm gonna skip ahead. Husbands, your wife is God's daughter. You have a responsibility to take care of her, to love her. Your children are God's. We are called to steward our children, to teach them what they need to know, and to first and foremost know who God is. Because my kids are his. He loves me, and he has entrusted them into my care. But it is a big responsibility for me to tend to his children. And when I don't see it that way, it affects how I parent. It affects how I steward what's in front of me. It affects how I treat my wife. But when I look at them and as who they truly are, and I'm like, look, this is not even mine. But I get the pleasure and the love and the honor from him of being able to be in their life. It changes what I do. Because now it's not so much an obligation. Well, I gotta do it. Now it's like, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this love. I don't deserve these kids. But he gave them to me. So it's my responsibility to be the husband I need to be the father that I need to be the man that I need to be so that I can raise these people in my family properly. And how do I do that? It is not my strength. I will tell you that in a heartbeat. I have no strength to do this. It is God's strength through me. So whenever I'm looking into the relationships that I have with my family, I'm looking into the relationship that I have with God the Father, it is never, ever, ever a good thing to give relationship scraps. Any of you in a relationship right now understand this? Especially when you were dating, you invested a lot of time into that relationship. Right? And then as your relationship developed, you got married, things like that. If you want to have a good marriage, you will still invest in your marriage. My wife and I will not have a good marriage if I'm like, well, I plan out my entire week. I got all this stuff going on. Maybe on like Wednesday night, I might have 5 minutes to talk to you. I don't know. We'll just kind of see how it plays out. I got some other stuff I really want to do. And something might come up. I might have to, you know, a buddy might want to go, you know, play Madden or something, and I'm going to do that, right? So maybe if we cross paths sometime at the house, we'll talk, you know? You know, but I love you. You know, you matter. You're important, right? You're significant. You matter. You know, we'll see how it goes. It's going to crash and burn, guys. Like, badly. Now, how often do we do that to God? How often are we like, look, God, here's my schedule. Hopefully you can find a spot in it. And you know what? If I see you on Sunday, that's great. God will take your old bananas that have been sitting on your counter, but he wants your first fruit. And he still loves you. He still pursues you. And on the days when it is, this is what I've got left, he still says, I love you. Thank you. But I'll tell you, he wants more. Not only does he want more, we have to fully understand that he deserves more. Right? He deserves all of it. Every bit of it, he deserves it. Right? It's his breath in my lungs. Like, it's his. If we apply the same biblical principle of tithing, the 10% thing, let's do that to our time. Let's play a game. How many hours are in a week? 168. Good job. You guys are so smart. Online, they can't hear if you yelled it out or not. 168 hours. Let's do the 10% principle. All right, 168 hours. 16.8. All right, let's divide 16.8 by 7. 16. Yep, 2.4. That's 2.4 hours. 2.4 hours is the equivalent of 2 hours and 24 minutes a day. 2 hours, 24 minutes a day. All right, so if you wanted to give God 10% of your time, 2 hours and 24 minutes. Now, I know a lot of you, we have very full schedules. I work, I have a family, my kids have full schedules. 2 hours and 24 minutes is a lot of time, right? You're like, ooh, that's kind of a lot. That's kind of a lot. So I'm going to, I'm going to make it easier on you guys, which it's not, but I'm going to do it anyway. You work a 40-hour work week. All right, let's take 40 hours out of that. And let's say you get your 8 hours of sleep a night. All right, so you got 8 times 7, that's 56, and then you take another 40 off of that. And then that's 72 hours. You're like, man, that's not a lot of time. Yeah, same amount of time we all have. Same amount of time that you're called to use to steward and to do what God's calling you to do. But let's just humor me here. 72 hours. Let's say, well, look, I already go to church on Sundays, and I even go to prayer on Wednesdays. That's 2 different days of the week that I'm giving to God. Okay, that's 3 hours. That's 3 hours. Even if you were to take just the 72 hours and you take your 3 hours out of that, that's 4.16%. Even out of 72 hours, that's not even half of the 10% principle. And this is not me trying to burden you. This is not me trying to make you feel bad. This is me, just like a doctor would say, hey, it's just time for a checkup. Let's look in the mirror and see what's really looking back. If we even were to give him 10% of the 72 hours, that's still leftovers. Because I've already worked all week. I've already slept all week. I've already done everything else that I'm going to do during the week. So this begs the question, what does that look like? So, Seth, you're telling me you want me to come sit in this church every single day for 2 hours and 24 minutes. That's ridiculous. I'm not telling you to do that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you give God back a portion of your time. Correction, you give God back a portion of his time that he's letting you use. What does that look like? You doing what he tells you to do. Does that mean you want me to quit my job and become a monk? No. Did God put you in the position where you are right now? Yes. Are you around the people that you're around every day when you work? Yes. Does God love those people? Yes. Does God maybe want you to interact with those people on purpose? Yes. So in giving God back his time, he's saying, thank you, that's amazing. Now, this is how I want you to use it. That is being the good steward. Is he saying, thank you. I love that. I love you. Now let's go love others. Okay? So I'm not telling you go set your watch and go sit down and be like, hey, guy at work, 2 hours and 20 minutes, we're talking about God right now. If the Lord tells you to do that, do that. By all means, you can do that. But I'm saying honoring God is when you are doing what he's telling you to do, sharing your testimony with somebody, helping somebody out, praying for somebody, talking about what God has done, and listening to what other people are telling you about what God's done in their lives. These things are important. They matter. It's a big deal. And it needs to be the first thing that we're thinking about, because when I wake up in the morning, the tone of my day will be set. Most of the time, I get a big say in how the tone is set. Unless my kids run in and wake me up out of the blue and like jump on you and you're like, ugh, right? Then you got to tweak the tone. But when I wake in the morning, it is my responsibility to get before God and to say, all right, God, 168 hours starts this week. What are we doing? Just tell me what you want me to do. Not because I have to. And this is not another one of those things where it's like, if you pray 20 minutes, your day's going to be perfect. It's going to be great. And you're not going to have any problems. You're going to get green lights all the way to work. You're going to get the best parking spot. This is not a guarantee thing. Husbands, you know this too. It's not always a guarantee when you do something for your wife that she's going to have the exact same response. Right? I mean, let's be real. Because it's not... Well, if A plus B equals C, then every time it's going to be this. It's not. It's not. But we do know that every time that we honor God, blessings will flow. Now, again, we don't do it for the blessing. That is not my driving reason for it. Well, I'm only going to pray because I want good stuff. Well, then you're not seeking God. You're seeking stuff. You're just doing it in a weird way. And God knows that. God knows when we're fake. God knows our heart. God knows the driving force behind what we're doing. He wants to be that driving force. I do things around the house because I love my wife. Not because I'm like, well, I got to do it. She'll be all mad at me all the time. You can look at it that way, but your relationship will suffer. But if I say, you know, I'm going to do the laundry. I'm going to fold it. I'm going to put it away. Because when she comes home from work, I want to be able to have more time with her. Because I love her. I'm going to do some other things so that she doesn't have to worry about it. Why? So that we have time together. That's why. Not because, oh, she's going to fuss at me and then I can't do what I want to do. You're coming at it from the wrong heart. The same thing with God. The same thing with God. We approach him first. We give him everything that we have because it's his. And then we do with it what he tells us. And these are very significant things. God is worthy of every breath you take, every second that ticks off the clock. He created that. Time is his. He stepped into it. He knows what he paid for you. Let us never forget what he paid for us. not only did he create all of the building blocks to make us and then breathe life into us and to create a world we can live in and to create every intricate thing in you where he knit you in your mother's womb and he gave you your passions and your talents and everything about you. Not only did he do all of that, but when we fell to sin, he said, I'm now going to buy you back. Even though he already owned us, he still said, I'm going to buy you back again. Because he sees the value in you. Because you matter, you're significant, you're important. He didn't say, well, can I get a batch deal on these people? Like, what if I just take like 80%? Can I get a deal on that? Like, make it easier? No. He's saying, I want all of you. And when he gets you, he's like, hey, guess what? Now you're a beacon where you are, and we're going to get all of them. And you're a beacon where you are, and we're going to get all of you. But it starts with me giving God the first of my time and my talents. Because my strength comes from the Lord. And when I spend time with him and I get in his presence, things start to align in different ways. Why? Because now I'm looking at the answer instead of looking at all the problems. And when I'm just walking around like this, and I'm just looking at all the problems, I get depressed, I get defeated, and I start to feel like I can't do any of this. And God's grace taps me. And he's like, hey, son, why don't you look up real quick? Why don't you just go ahead, let's refocus here. And then all these things, when I'm down here, look this big, and then as I look up, everything goes down. And I'm like, wow. I forgot how big you are. And he smiles, and he's like, yeah. And then he picks me up, moves me out of the junk, sometimes hands me a broom, and is like, let's clean it up. All right, let's keep going. And that's God. That is who he is. He says, I don't want to leave you there. I have a life so much better. And I know what I paid. You're way too valuable to leave you. You matter. You're significant. God owes us nothing. But he gives us everything. That doesn't make logical sense. We have done nothing to earn anything. And yet out of his abundance of love, he says, I will give you everything. Everything. I will hold nothing back when you come to me completely and wholly and truthfully. What does that look like? Why? Why? Well, we're called to love God with all parts of ourselves. He's like, one of the greatest commandments is you love the Lord your God with all your mind, soul, body, and strength. All of it. That is every part of everything that you are. Love God with every part of you and love your neighbor like yourself. The law of the prophets summed up in those two things. First and foremost, we love God with every part of who we are. Again, not just the financial part. My time, my mind, my soul, my heart, all of it. Because when all of those are aligned to his will, he flows through us so much better. And then I'm enabled to have his love to love my neighbor. My love for my neighbor will fluctuate. Everybody knows this, right? If it's just your own strength and, well, it's all about the way I feel today. Well, it's a roller coaster for you. Have fun with that. But when it's God's love flowing through you, it is steady. Because God's love doesn't care how you feel. His love is truth. Truth is truth. Your feelings don't affect truth. It's our job to get aligned to truth the proper way. God cannot be a last resort when we have done everything else. Now, it has happened, and it happens, but that is never the hierarchy that God created for us. God never said, hey, after you've exhausted everything else and you've tried everything else and nothing else seems to work, maybe you give me a call. Now, he will be there, but that's the wrong order. He said, make me first. Make me number one. You start your day with me, you set the tone. And guess what? That's why it's not just 10 minutes in the morning. It's a constant thing during the day. Why? Because every now and then I got to be like, okay, realign. All right, God. Might be 20 minutes later and I'm like, okay, let's realign again. All right. Right? Daily, crucifying my flesh, dying to myself. Because I have to understand that His ways are higher than my ways. They're greater than my ways. They're the best thing for me, and they're the best thing for this world. It's my duty to give back to God what is His. It is my duty to steward what God has given me properly. And where has God put me? Where has God put you? Has He put you in a body of believers? Has He put you in a church family? If He has, then you have a job. You have a calling on you. The Holy Spirit gives gifts for the edification of the body. When a tree bears fruit, does the tree eat its own fruit? No. The fruit is for others. Not only am I supposed to give God my time, but I'm supposed to do what He tells me to do with my time, which is use the gifts He's given me for my fellow man. So another part of giving God my time is saying, hey, Scripture says to mourn with those that mourn. Scripture says rejoice with those who rejoice. Am I doing that? Am I acting in a way to where I want to help spur on the fellow believers around me? Am I leading when God puts something on my heart and the church says, hey, we have a need, we have an opening. And I'm like, oh, I'm passionate about that. Really hope they find somebody. That might be God saying, hey, look up. We got a new place to go for a little bit, right? We got a new investment for your time here. So as I close, this is what I want to leave you with. Your time is withdrawn from a bank account that you cannot know the balance of. Every day you wake up, you make a withdrawal. I don't know when my last withdrawal is going to happen. But I'm called to be a good steward with what I have withdrawn. I am called to invest this into the kingdom of God. Because look, no matter what, you're withdrawing it. No matter what. You can't stop. You can't say, you know what, I'm just going to take a pause on living for a bit. You can't. Right? You can't do that. Like, that's not how this works. But what you can do is say, all right, Lord, with what You've given me, with the time that I have, how do I make the most of it? How do I invest this properly? How do I listen to You more? How do I do what I do with what I have? Because God's not up there saying, hey, there's a whole secret 20 hours that real Christians get. That if you do all the right stuff, you're going to have like a whole extra day at the end of the week. No, He's not. He says, I put you where I put you for a reason. The job you have, for a reason. The school you're in, for a reason. The family you're in, for a reason. The passions you have, for a reason. And we are God's favorite tools to use. So when I approach God every morning, some mornings when I don't, I got to do it a little bit later in the afternoon, but every time when I approach God and I'm like, okay, God, take everything and tell me what to do with it. I have to understand that He might call me to do something I'm uncomfortable with, but it is still my job as a good steward of His time and His calling on my life to do it. Because God did not call you to comfort. God did not say, I'm going to come down and I'm going to die so that you can have a cush life, man. And then when you die, you're just going to come up here and hang out. He's saying, hey, let's not forget that there is a war going on. And when I have acquired you and I have drafted you to be a warrior for me, that there's going to be some battles we go up against. There's going to be some things that we have to combat. There are going to be other people that I need you to recruit. Take your time and use it wisely. because you will withdraw one day the last little bit you have. And when you get to heaven and you watch the video, when you see what your life has been about, I don't want to get up there and be like, I blew through a lot of stuff. You know what I want to hear? Well done, good and faithful servant. I want to hear what David heard when he said, look, your servant accomplished what he was made for in his time. The only way you will know what you are made for is by talking to who made you. That's the only way. And when I start my day and I give God my first fruits, you know what God does? He reminds me who I am because he tells me who he is. And when I remember who he is and that it's his power through me and it's the way that he loves me and everything that he's done for me, then when Satan comes at me, I'm like, oh, no. Listen, I already know. I've been reminded. This is who I am. This is what I'm called to do, and this is what I'm equipped to do. So you better get out of the way. You better do something, because when he tells me to go, I go, because this is what I'm made for. So this week, try not to give God your leftovers. Try not to be like, well, look, I got some time I can carve out for you. He's like, no, listen, make all of the time my time. And then you will see the blessing and the power of God work through your whole life. Because it will change. It will affect you. It'll change your relationships with people. It'll change the way that you approach things. It'll change your attitude. Why? Because you have aligned with God and you have received from him what he wants you to have. So I'm going to pray. And then you are going to get an opportunity to do this. You're going to go live your life. Okay? God, thank you. Thank you that you give us life. Thank you that you give us time. Thank you that you give us opportunities. And not only do you give us opportunities, you call us into those opportunities. You have equipped us, you have called us, and you have sent us out. God, thank you. The harvest is coming. The laborers are few, God, so I pray that we would continue to offer our time back to you so that you can tell us when it is time to go to the fields. When it is time to harvest, God. When it is time to collect and bring your children back. God, help us every day to start our day with you in your presence. God, we want your tone over our whole day, our whole week, every moment that we have. You are stronger than anything we can face. You are stronger than anything that will come at us, God. And I pray that we would be able to hold on to your strength as we give back to you what we owe you. Help us to humbly serve the people around us. Help us to hold everything you give us with open hands as we look out to the world. Help us to align every second of every day with who you've called us to be. God, we thank you for your provisions. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you that you care more about us than the lilies of the field or the birds, and yet you clothe and feed them. God, help us to be good stewards with what you've called us. Help us to be good stewards with our time, with our finances, with our gifts, God. We love you. In your name, amen.